The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Chagigah has been dedicated in memory of Hacham Raful Muhaddeb ben Garaz and Marie Muhaddeb bat Jamile. Ruach Hashem Tenihem Began Eden Elyon. Amen. Dedicated by Dr. Isaac and Lily Muhaddeb. Hashem Yishmerem V'chayim. Amen.
Daf Chaf Aleph. Today's daf is being studied by Mishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Mishmat Meruham. Shereftar B'Kesur Yamin V'Shanim. Ezra ben Tunim Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tenihem Began Eden. Notid Shmatot Rabbi Tzul Chayim. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chaf Aleph Amud Rishon. And we start from the second line, right in the beginning of the Gemara. Our Mishnah quoted Chomer B'Kodesh M'Betruma, certain stringencies that Kodesh had over Truma. So one of those stringencies was that when it comes to Kodesh, one should not or not allowed to dip a Kli B'Toch Kli, put one vessel into another vessel. When it comes to Truma, however, it would be mutar to put a Kli B'Toch Kli and immerse them in the mikveh. So the Gemara says, "Bakodesh my ta'amalo." What's the reason why Kodesh is forbidden? Amar of Ila, v'pneshik v'doshed keli chotzitz. Because we're concerned about the fact that the weight of the inner keli is going to serve as a chatzitza, meaning it's going to weigh down in the inner keli, and therefore the water is not going to be able to get underneath the kelim. And therefore both kelim are not going to be considered immersed in a mikveh. The Gemara later on is going to ask if that's the reason, so then why by terumah should be okay? The concept over here is a hatzitza issue, so the chavra by terumah, hatzitza also is going to be a problem. Wait for the Gemara to ask that. She says, shekevedo shel keli chotzetz, kevedo shel kli apinimi, the weight of the inner keli, mechbid al hachitzon, that weighs down on the outer keli, shumu nach betocha, that's inside of it, chotzetz befnei amayim, ve'en tivila ole lo leze, ve'lo leze. She clearly says that tivila will not be work effective for either of them. Ulkaman parich yache afilu terumah nameh. So later on, the Gemara is going to ask, even terumah then should be a problem. So that's the opinion of Rav Ila. So the Gemara says, ve'ham de'sefa mishum hatzitza, resha la mishum hatzitza. Well, if you tell me that that's one of the stringencies that Kodesh has over Terumah, that we're more strict in the laws of Hatzitza by Kodesh, well, that's one of the stringencies that was mentioned later in the Mishnah, the stringency of Hatzitza, in which case, Diktari Sefa, because it says the Sefa, Velo Kimidata Kodesh Bidat Terumah. The law of Kodesh, or the measure of Kodesh, is not similar to the measure of Terumah. Shebe Kodesh, Matir, first you have to untie the garment before you dip it, which is you have a garment that you want to put it in the mikveh. So let's say they made a knot in it. So for Kodesh, this is first you have to untie it, umengiv, and you also have to dry it, umatbil, and then you dip it, veharka, kosher, then if you want to retie it, that's fine. Ubetruma, kosher, veharka, matbil. When it comes to Teruma, one is even able to make a knot first and then dip it in the mikveh. So you see what? Obviously that's an issue of Hatzitza. So we're seeing that by Kodesh, we're more machmir by Hatzitza than we are by Terumah. So we discussed Hatzitza already. So why would we say, according to Rav Ila, that the Resha is Hatzitza and the Sefa is Hatzitza? It's redundant. That she, Beha, mid the Sefa, the Ma'ala Ahariti, it's considered another stringency, the Hashib B'Sefa, Haba Ta'ma Mishum Hatzitza. If you tell me that the Sefa is Mishum Hatzitza, Resha La Mishum Hatzitza, the E Ta'ma, the Tarva Mishum Hatzitza, because if you tell me both, the first case, and the later case in the Mishnah is talking about Hatzitza, Leshme'ina Degabe Kodesh, Kol Dedamel Hatzitza Potzel Bo, Ubetumah Lo Pasla El Hatzitza Gemura Doraita, Litni Had Aminayu, which means if the basic message of the Mishnah is that anything that's similar to Hatzitza is pursued by Kodesh, and it's good by Terumah, so just say one of the cases, because basically it's the same theme behind them. When you have a keli b'toch keli, it's a yanam hatzitza. When you have the knot in the bagel, it's a yanam hatzitza. So you say, we're more machmir by hatzitza by kodesh, and we have a Terumah. So why does the Mishnah have to repeat that same case twice according to Rav Ila? So the Gemara says, Yes, indeed. Resha v'sefa mishum hatitza. Yes, we do have two cases in the Mishnah that are discussing the issue of hatitza. En matpidim keli metoch keli, it's a hatitza issue. And the case of the matir, untying it, is a hatitza issue. Why do you need two cases? V'tzericha, you need both cases. De'i ashme'inan resha, if you only gave me the case of kli betoch kli, hava mina hainu tamad lekodesh lo mishum kevedo shel keli de'ika. I say, yeah, there it's a more concern of a hatitza, because the weight of the inner keli weighs down on the outer keli, and therefore there's a concern. Aval sefa de'lecha kevedo shel keli, but in the sefa case of the knot that's in the beged, there's no weight that's weighing down the beged to make a hatitza so much. Maybe I'll say that by a beged where there's no covid weight weighing it down, maybe it's such a hatitza is not even a concern by kodesh. So that's what I have to say the case of the beged. And if you only gave me the sefa, have amina hainu ta'ama to the kodesh lo, that the reason why kodesh, you don't have to be concerned about mishum de kitra b'maya aduge aduke medak. So the reason why you have to be concerned in the sefa, because when you have a knot in a beged, and then you add water to it, so it becomes tight. So I was like, that's why it's a hatzitza. Aval resha, but in the resha of the Mishnah, de maya akfuye makfule lemana lo avya hatzitza. I could say that when a person has a keli betoch keli, put in the water, what happens? The water goes underneath the keli and causes it to float, to rise. And therefore I'll say, maybe it's not a hatitza. Therefore the Gemara says siricha, which means there's a sirichuta for both cases. I need the first case of the Mishnah, because if only told me the first case, I was in the first case with keli betoch keli, that's a problem. Because it's kevedosh keli. Because the inner keli weighs down on the outer keli. However, the case of the beged that you're dipping it, there's a knot in there. There's no weight. Therefore, it's not such a hatitza. I might not have to worry about kodesh. Come on, you do have to worry about kodesh. Even in such a case, you have to untie it first. If you tell me the case of the knot, I say, that's a problem. Because when you put it in the water goes in the knot and it makes it tight. And there was a problem. I shake it over here when you have the keli in the inside the keli, the water goes underneath it and causes it to float up. So I might have thought that akfuye makfer, as she says, akfuyim makfir lemana mitzifot umagbihot oto. Right, it causes it to float and elevate it. Kamash ma'alan, that in that case as well, it's going to be asur. Even in the case of keli b'tochei. Tosfot just discusses over here in the top. Tosfot teketra b'maya lukei mehedak umangiv dematnitin avi mishum hatzitza. That she learned also that the reason why you have to dry the beged by kodesh before you dip it in the mikveh, it's also an inyan of hatzitza k'tperesh tashi. V'ad la'avit slichuta m'mangiv mishum dekim le'lo yedi'inan mi'idach. Which means the Gemara only discussed the tzlichuta, why you need the case of hatzitza legabe the tying, and why you need the hatzitza legabe the kli betokli. But it didn't discuss the tzlichuta legabe why over here you have to dry, because really we didn't discuss the drying by teruma. So since the Mishnah did not discuss that you don't have to dry by teruma, so they left that tzrichuta out. The Mishnah's language by teruma was ubetruma kosher v'achach matbil. Didn't discuss the niguv at all. Then Tosfot comes along and says v'yesh mefarshim demadgim tava harina ika. Tosfot gives a different reason why you have to dry it by kodesh mishum she'amayim chozrim umetameim le. Which means he's learning it's a tumah issue. When you have the water that's tameh, let's say, on the kodesh item, and you're going to dip it, so it's going to re-metameh the beged somehow. By dipping it in the mikveh is not going to be able to metameh the beged when there's water on it. Meaning it's an inyan of tumah. Rabbi Ila l'tameh de'amar, Rabbi Ila. Amar b'hanina, bar papa, eser ma'alot shanu kan. Rav Ila that said, the first case of the Mishnah is a hatitza issue, is loyal to his shita. Rabbi Ila held that there are 10 ma'alot that Kodesh have over Terumah. And altogether, if you count them in the Mishnah, you'll see there's 11 cases. So how does Rabbi Ila get 10? Because he learns that 2 out of the 11 are really the same concern, hatzitzot. So therefore, the 11 turn into 10. So Rabbi Ila was consistent when he said that there's 2 hatzitzot cases. That's why he says the subtotal of the Mishnah is 10 umrot of Kodesh over Terumah. Hameshli Shonot, the first 5 that are enumerated in our Mishnah, Ben Le Kodesh, Ben Le Chodin Shenasu Al Tarat HaKodesh, apply not only to actual Kodesh, but also to people that eat their Cholin with the stringencies of Kodesh. Acharonot, the last 5, Le Kodesh, Aval, Lo Le Chodin Shenasu Al Tarat HaKodesh. So the last 5, while of course the stringencies apply to actual Kodesh eaters, however, it does not apply to people that eat their chulin al tarat kodesh. Now we have to ask a question. My tama, what's the reason why the first 5 are more stringent, which is going to apply even to chulin chenasit al tarat kodesh? Meaning a person that, let's say, is makpid, to only eat his food with the level of kodesh, all these laws are going to apply to him. If he wants to dip keli, he cannot dip keli betor keli, and he cannot hold the madras in his hand when he has something else in his hand. All the first 5 cases, which we'll review them one by one, are going to apply not only to eaters of Kodesh, but also to eaters of Chodesh Nasi, the Tarat Kodesh. Why we're so strict in the first 5, whereas in the second 5, it only applies to Kodesh eaters per se? So the Gemara says, Hamesh Kamaita, the first 5, the Itlu Dirara, the Tumaham, the Oraita, Gazu, Behura Baran, Ben the Kodesh, Ben the Holy Shinah, Swatara, the Kodesh. The first 5, they have a connection to a Tumah de Oraita. We'll review all 5 cases, we'll see. It's possible from the first 5 cases to come to a Tumah de Oraita. That means it's clear from the Mishnah, from this Gemara, the first 5 Tumah, Tumah, Medra Baran. It's all ma'alot midrabanan over here, stringencies midrabanan. But these drabanan stringencies can lead to a deoraita. They have a connection to deoraita. And therefore we're going to be ma'amir not only by Kodesh, but even by Cholin Shenasit Al Taharat HaKodesh. However, batraita, the last 5 cases, the last 5 that have no connection to Tuma deoraita, gazubu rabbanan le kodesh, lechlin chinasuatanat le kodesh, lo gazubu rabbanan. Now we have to go back to learn the first 5 cases and see exactly how each case can possibly come to a Tuma that is minatora. Okay, so we read Rashi. Rashi dibuda matril. Derarad tumah deoraita. Hashash tumah deoraita. All these have a concern that can be a deoraita concern. Let's go one at a time. Kli betoch kli, that's the first case. By Kodesh, there's a chumrah, no kli betoch kli. Iika hatzitza tumah deoraita. That's right. If legitimately there was a hatzitza, well, hatzitza is a tumah deoraita, is a problem deoraita. Because if indeed the water would not be able to get underneath, which is obviously we're talking about a case where it's not a problem deoraita, because then already would be asur by terumah as well, to put a kli b'toch kli. It's a concern. It's a humrah. But it's a type of humrah that if it wasn't legal, if the water cannot get underneath it, it would be asur deoraita. So there was a hashash deoraita. So therefore we're mahmir by kodesh and chonish tachit by kodesh. Case number 2. Ahoraim v'toch. We learned in the Mishnah, let's say a keli is multifunctional. The bottom of the keli is functional, the handle of the keli, and of course the inside of the keli. So we said for Kodesh, if any part of the keli became Tameh, so then the whole keli becomes Tameh. So Rashi says, Afagav de bekelim shenitmeu achora b'mashkim, de tum'ah de rabbanani askinan. Oh, what type of tum'ah are we talking about over here? We're talking about rabbinical tum'ah. Meaning, the back of the keli became tameh with mashkim. So let's say the keli, this keli over here received on the side of it or on the back of it mashkim. So tumat mashkim, that the mashkeh is able to tameh a keli, is a tumat rabbanan. So where is the deoraita concern? So that she says miu hadam u rabbanan mashkeh mitameh in keli. That which the rabbi said, that a mashkeh kametame keli mishum gezirad mashke zav vezavahu. Because there is a mashke from the Torah that can be metame, the saliva or the urine of a zav or zava. Kegon roko umimera glav. Dani metamim keli midoraita. Metumah deoraita. Which means, first of all, there is a mashkin that's metame b'doraita. And that mashkin that's metame keli b'doraita, in a metal keli, we don't make a hiluk between which part of the keli it touched. Once it part touches part of it, the whole keli becomes tameh. Shebechol makom shetumah nogaat bo netma kulo. And therefore, mashkim that touch the back or the handle of a clean matechet are going to be pasul for kodesh, the whole keli, and it's going to be asunah for kodesh, but even for tcholin tanatzit al talat kodesh. Why? Because this can lead to a deoraita. Because we have a deoraita in such a case, a mashkim that can be metameh keli. And in that case, medoraita, the whole keli is pasul. Give me the case of mashkim medoraita is pasul a keli. Mashkim of a zav, meaning roko or me laglav. Nose et amidras na me ashash tum'a deoraitai. Now, a person we said holds the midras in one end. That's the min'al of a zav, for example. Hold the shoe of a zav in one end. That's an avat tum'a. And we said he has, let's say, he has kodesh in a earthenware vessel in the other end. So asur. Now, where's the deoraita? How could it come the oraita? So the Gemara, she says, "Ked the farish beGemara, maaseh ya shenaf la ditzuat the sandal leavir chavit begde ochle teruma." No, that sandal leavir chavit, which means a lady was walking once, and or somebody was walking, and the strap of the shoe that was a shoe of a zav fell into the airspace of the keli. That's already tumah deoraita, because once already you have the toch of a kliheres, the tumah goes in within the airspace of a kliheres. That's tumah deoraita. So therefore, this case over here can lead to a deoraita, where the lady's car, where the guy's carrying a midras on one end and the kliheres on another end. So therefore, there's a hashash that can come to a suma mash deoraita, where the zav shoe is going to end up somehow in the airspace of the keli. So therefore, we're going to be mahmi not only on kodesh but holin chinasita tarat kodesh. Bigde ochle truma midras de kodesh. Now we said one of the chumrot was the ochle teruma, their clothes are considered midrash to ochle kodesh. Meaning if ochle kodesh touches the clothes of ochle teruma, he becomes tameh. And where's the deoraita over here? So it says, Sheme yashba alein ishto nida. So that's hashash tuma deoraita. What's the concern? Legabe the kodesh guy, we say that maybe this garment that the bigdeh, the ochle teruma is eating, could be without his knowledge, his wife was an ida, sat on the garment, made it a midras, and therefore it's a hashash of a tumah of deoraita. I mean, it can be a deoraita concern. Therefore, we're going to be hashash even ochle cholin atarat kodesh, the clothes of ochle tumah going to be midras for them. Kelim anigmarim. What's kelim anigmarim? We know one of the cases of the Mishnah was guys making, let's say, kelim for kodesh, the craftsman. They were nigmarim b'tahara. He was careful when they became a keli that no tum'ah came in contact with it. So therefore, the chaura, it should be ta'or. The deen of the Mishnah has got to dip it in the mikveh. What's the concern? Where's the deoraita concern over here? So the Rashi says, Mishum tsinura da'amar shem zavu. You're worried about what? The spit of an ama'aris. That maybe the guy was a zav. So what happened? He spit on the keli. Yeah, he was working. So some saliva went on the keli. Now he was shomer. By the time the keli became a keli where it can receive tumah, he was careful. But the saliva is still on the keli. It's still moist. And then what's going to happen when the keli becomes a keli? It's going to become tameh now because of the saliva that's on of the zav. So then it's hashash deoraita. Didn't we just say that the saliva of a zav is metameh deoraita? So therefore, keli menigmeni metara is also a deoraita concern, and therefore it's going to be also not only by kelim that serve kodesh, but also cholin shenasit al tarat kodesh. Now let's just speak out how the last five cases of the Mishnah are really all the Rabbanans. So the first case is kli mitzaref mashish betocho, which means if you have a keli and you have all the Kodesh in the Keli. So if one of the items in the Keli became Tameh, all the other items also become Tameh as well, because the Keli makes everything considered one. It unites everything. So Tosfot says, L'chaura, that's a Din De'oraita by Kodesh. So therefore, L'chaura should apply by Cholin, should not start at the Kodesh. So he says that Mikol Makom Elo Hashash Tum'a De'oraita B'Cholin, which means there is no De'oraita connection at all by Cholin Legabe this Din of Tziruv. It was Dafka said by Kodesh Mamash. Then you have the case of Revi'i B'Kodesh. Revi'i B'Kodesh, Rashi holds later on, we'll see, is Inichanami Edin D'Rabbanan. So therefore, no problem. Mashiach Tosfot holds that Revi'i really is a law that is De'oraita. So you have to say again that even though it's a law De'oraita, there's no tzad of Revi'i at all by Cholin min Torah, and therefore does not shayach to be machmir by Cholin shenasi tarat haKodesh. Meiri has a little different answer. He says because the law of Revi'i b'Kodesh is actually learned from a Kavah Homer, so therefore it's not explicitly written in the Torah. So even though it's a De'oraita, but as a Din D'Rabbanan, because it's not explicitly written in the Torah itself. Now, one of the cases of the Sefer was Netmeta Hatmi Adav. If one of his hands becomes Tameh for Kodesh, the other hand is going to become Tameh as well. Now, it's obvious the whole Din of Tumat Yadayim is not Deoraita. Min Torah, Tum'ah affects the whole goof. You don't see a Tum'ah min Deoraita, it only affects the hands. So that's clearly a Tum'ah min Rabbanan. That's not only affect Kodesh as well. The case of Ochlim Niguvim B'Yadayim is Su'avot. Because we're talking about over here, his hands were Sheni the Tum'ah. So we say when a guy's hands are Sheni the Tum'ah, we let him eat Terumah. That never became Mukshar. Mashi'enkin, we don't let him eat Kodesh. Now what type of Tumah are we talking about that his hands have? Tumah is Rabbanan. Sheni on the hands is Rabbanan. So therefore, it's only going to apply to Kodesh, but to Cholin Shnashi Tarat HaKodesh. And the last two cases were Onen and Mechosar Kippurim. Onen and Mechosar Kippurim are interesting cases. The Tumah of an Onen is with Rabbanan. Because in truth, he didn't become Tameh. We're talking about an Onen that did not come in contact with the body. So the Chaura, why should he become Tameh? The rabbis considered him Tameh, and therefore made him go to the mikveh. Mechosar Kippurim, what did he do? He went to the mikveh on the seventh day. Now, he brought his korban on the eighth day. He's got to go to the mikveh again. What do you mean? Nothing happened in between. So therefore, it's Chumrah mit Rabbanan. So therefore, those last two also are deemed Rabbanan. Therefore, it only applies to Kodesh, and not to Chodesh, not to Tarat the Kodesh. Rava Amar, Medesefa, Havi Mishum Hatitza, Lesha, Lav Mishum Hatitza. Oh, so Rava along comes along and says, gives a different answer. Rava argues on Rav Ila. He says, no. From the fact that the sefa, in the case of the knot in the shirt, is an issue of hatitza, the mishnah is not going to be redundant and repeat in the resha an issue of hatitza, meaning kli b'tok kli. Therefore, the kli b'tok kli is not a hatitza issue. Oh, so then what's the concern according to Rava? Why kli b'tok kli is a problem by Kodesh? V'resha haynu tama gezera shelo yatbil mahatin v'tzinorot b'chli she'en b'fiv k'shvoferet anod. The concern over here is that we have a law when it comes to dipping something, a keli b'toch a keli. The law is that the outer keli, in order for it to be connected, the waters that are going to go into the keli, to be connected to the waters of the mikveh, the mem se'ah, its opening has to be at least the size of shvoferet anod. Shvoferet anod, that she's going to explain, is it's wide enough where you can put two fingers in to the hole, and you're able to go in a circular motion, berevach. You could, you know, comfortably. So the gezerah over here is, the reason why I don't want you to do keli betoch keli is a gezerah, that you might put small keli, like tzinorot and mehatim v'tzinorot, those are small little vessels, okay, they're useful, let's say, sewing and things like that, pipes, little pipes, and you want to stick it in a keli, and if the keli is not going to have a wide enough hole at the opening, it's going to be a problem. So therefore they made a gezerah on all keli betok keli legabe kodesh, gezerah sheme yitbelenu bechli she'en bo kishvoferet anod. Look at that, she bechli sheme fi bechshar anod, vahi laf tevilai. What's the sevara? She'en amayim neknasim netoko chibur lemeh mikveh. The waters are not going to be connected. Because since it's a very narrow opening, the waters in the bottle, they're not connected to the mikveh. Okay, so what's going to end up happening? The machatim only getting nitbal from the waters in the bottle. Vitnan, and we're going to learn now, right now, the lafay buru. Now, where do we see that? Vitnan, the Gemara goes further. Kiditnan. Eruv mikvaot kishvofere tanod. What does Eruv mikvaot mean? So that she explains. Mikveh haser, besad mikveh shalim. You have, let's say, a 40 se'ah mikveh on one side, and next to it you have a mikveh haser, mikveh that is lacking. Vatsinor b'nehem ha-mechaberam. You have a pipe that's connecting the two mikvaot, which is you want to kosher up the mikveh that's lacking. Once it's touching already a kosher mikveh, we have a law of hashaka, and that means that as long as it's touching, so therefore it's considered mechubar to a mikveh shalim, and therefore you can even dip in the mikveh haser. But the she'elah is, how wide does the chibur have to be, that pipe, that link that's connecting? So the Gemara says, Eruv mikvaot, when you want to connect mikvaot, kishvoferet hanod. It has to be at least the size of shifoferet hanod. Literally, shifoferet is like a pipe, shifoferet is like a tube. Hanod, not of the of a keli. Like the size of a funnel, let's say, that we put over a keli. Ke'ovya uchalala. It has to be in its depth and its width, two etzba'ot that are able to go in a circular motion, chozrot limkoman, back to its place. Rashi says, the bottom Rashi, yes, in the olden days they used to have leather pouches, I guess, to drink wine or water. So how would they get the liquid out? They would stick like a little straw in the pouch, like a funnel, and they would pour the contents out. So since that's what she put it on, that size was like two, that's part of the sheets on top. Have eiruv matbidim af kelim v'haynameh hashash tumah deoraita. Now this is a hashash tumah deoraita. I want to say that she, and therefore we have a concern. It's in the first five cases of the Mishnah, even according to Rava, there's deoraita issues over here. Therefore the gezerah is keli betoch keli. Maybe he's going to come to put it in a keli that doesn't have to fit it. No, therefore it's not going to be kahibur in the mikveh. Therefore it's going to be a problem. So comes the Gemara and says, "Savad la kehad amar of Nachman amar Rava bar Abu Yud Alif Maalot Shanukan." Rava holds that there's actually 11 Maalot that was said by Kodesh, because he holds Chatitza was only listed once. The first case is not a Chatitza issue; it's an issue of Shufirat Anod. So if you count up the cases in the Mishnah, it's 11 cases. So the Gemara says, "Shesh Rishonot," the first six. Ben the Kodesh, Ben the Onish Nazirut of Tarat HaKodesh. The first six according to Rava is both for Kodesh and Onish Nazirut of Tarat HaKodesh. Acharonot the Kodesh. Avalu the Onish Nazirut of Tarat HaKodesh. And what's the logic? The logic is really because the first six have a concern of the Deoraita issues. And the last five only have a concern of the Rabbanan, just like we mentioned in Rav Ila. So that's a very fantastic look we have to keep in mind between Rav Ila and Rava. How many ma'alot do Kodesh have over Teruma? Is it 10, like Rav Ila, and you have two cases of Hatitza, or is it 11 according to Rava, and you only have one case of Hatitza, and the mahlok is really going to be how to learn the first case of why Kli B'toch Kli Asur? Is it a Hatitza issue, or is it an issue of Gezerah Shema Yitbilinu B'toch Kli that does not have Shoferet Anod? Now I saw one of the Mefashim ask a question according to Rav Ila. Where he says you have the first case is a Hatitza issue, and I think the fifth case of the Mishnah is a Hatitza issue, the case of the knot. Why, if they have two why if you have two Hatitza issues, wouldn't the Beru HaKadosh list them back to back? Why would he list the Hatitza issue and then give you a couple other cases and then go back to a Hatitza? Means that could have been a question of the Gemara as well. Another question that they could have asked on Rav Ila. They said, number one, you ask redundancy. Ask another Sheila. Said, if you're right that it's both Hatitza, put them next to each other. Why would the Beru HaKadosh talk about Hatitza, jump to other concerns and go back to Hatitza? So I think the Siyah Yitzhak answers that from here you see that's not a question, because the Beru HaKadosh only wrote the concerns according to when he heard a testimony from the Hachamim about these concerns. Which means Rabbi Rogan wrote the Mishnah in the Seder. In the Seder what? That he learned. So therefore, could be the he had a Kabbalah in the first case, Klibitur Kli. So he wrote it down first. Now, then later on, they told him he heard a Kabbalah from the case of the not in the Keli. So therefore, he's only writing it in order of his tradition, so that would not be a problem why the Gemara doesn't ask that. That we can accept, that it's not written back to back. It's going according to when he received the tradition. But she'enkin, the redundancy is the problem, and to that, that's why the Mila to give a Slichuta. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Ve'amen.